Happy Thanksgiving Friday.
Happy Thanksgiving Friday.
Yes, we're here because we want to give thanks to God. It's that time of year where the whole nation celebrates Thanksgiving Day. And who else is better to celebrate that than God's family? Because God has done so much for us. He is our Father, and He is good.
Yes.
He's a good, good Father.
Yes, He is.
Yes, He is. And so we are here tonight, and tonight is a night of Thanksgiving. We're going to have people come up and give a testimony of what God has been doing in their life. And so the whole service is going to be giving thanks to God. And so I do want to just read one scripture before we begin the singing, and that is Psalm 28, verse 7. The Lord is my strength and shield. I trust Him with all my heart. He helps me, and my heart is filled with joy. I burst out in songs of thanksgiving. So let's all rise and let's sing to our God. Psalm 100, verses 4 to 5. Enter His gates with thanksgiving. Go into His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. For the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever, and His faithfulness continues to each generation. Thank you, Jesus. And now we're going to have people come up to give their testimonies of thanksgiving and what God has been doing in their lives.
Okay.
This is Kathy.
Where do I begin?
Wait.
Thank you. First thing I want to mention is the Lord brought my grandson, Matthew, to graduate from Fire Academy. He's been fighting all these fires recently, and he's not had one injury, not even a tiny one. Amen. The Lord delivered him and is continuing to do it.
Amen.
And, of course, I'm thankful I have Jesus as my Savior and Lord. I believe my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and I've got a place waiting for me. That is a wonderful gift from the Lord. And I'm thankful for this church here and for all the time and effort these people invest to show us how to live a godly and successful life. So thank you, Pastor Joshua, Pastor Sarah, Pastor Matthew, Penny, and all of you, and Pastor Karen and James. I'm thankful that I am healed, whole, and free of sickness and disease. The Lord brought me through some medical issues this year. I'm healthier than ever, and I expect to go on, live a full life, and go up in the... okay, where am I going? I go up in the rapture. Oh, thank you, Lord. The humor is good. Okay. Then, I'm thankful I had the opportunity to go to my daughter's on Tuesday night and help her cook and prepare the food and everything. And you know, I learned about loving and forgiveness while I was there. I had opportunities. I had opportunities to practice it. And then, you know, I went out and sat on the porch, and the Holy Spirit began to deal with me. And He said, really, how important is what she said, or how important was her attitude? So go in there. And so I went back in. We just resumed where we left off. So God, I thank You that I put into practice loving and forgiving. That's a good way to be. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. And I'm thankful that I have, how many granddaughters born this year? Great-granddaughters, two. And I've got a great-grandson. Let's see, I came up with four. Let's see. I've kind of lost count. Oh, okay, right. Oh, actually, I have five. Four great-granddaughters. and one great grandson. But you know, at the Thanksgiving dinner, the youngest one was there, the last one born. So here I'm the oldest, and she was the youngest. And I considered it a privilege for the two of us to be there together, celebrating that all that God has done in my family. I mean, I just have three daughters-in-laws, one granddaughter, four grandsons by birth. And then, you know, when your son marries a woman with children, they're all adults, of course, brought in two more. And I have those four great-granddaughters, one great-grandson, and then my one grandson has a lady friend, and she has four children that she brings along with her. So, I mean, what I'm saying, thank you, Lord, for me, whose life seems so insignificant and not worth much in years gone by. He has brought from me, and as a result of my existence, I believe, used me to bring all these people together and to pray for them and to be a harbor for them. And so That's been really good. Another thing in my life, I worked at Target for 11 years. I quit this year and moved on to a new life. I'm still waiting to get into the path, but I'm making my way there day by day. Is my time up? It's up. Okay, well, that's a perfect ending because that's the end of my notes.
There you go. Kathy, that was really excellent. Let me just say a couple of things, which might minister to some of you here that don't know Kathy very well. When Kathy first came to us, she was estranged from her family, including her children, for I forget how long, maybe 10 years, long time. Well, they came back together to the point where her son moved from the East Coast back to be with his mommy. Isn't that cool? The whole family's together, as you just heard. And then when she came to us, she was highly challenged with her heart and at the point of having heart surgery, which she did. But she bounced back from that heart surgery so wonderfully well that she became a poster girl on their advertising for the American Heart Association because her recovery was so dramatic. And they did, I think two networks showed little videos on her, which at least two networks, right? So one was Life, Live, and then another one was another main channel. She has quite a history there, but as you say, she ran out of time, okay? Thank you.
Now we have Lyle who's going to come up.
Thank you, Deborah. My name is Lyle Majeska, and I'm married to a wonderful woman named Sharon. She wasn't able to be with us this evening, but I told her I would mention her name. Over the last few months, I've been reading in the book of Jeremiah. And one of the words that was new to me and I'd like to share with you is the word satiate. And satiate means to satisfy fully or to provide someone with more than enough. And one of the words, one of the verses in Jeremiah 31:14 says, "And I will satiate the soul of the priests with fatness, and my people shall be satisfied with my goodness, saith the Lord."
Praise the Lord.
Amen. And being that we're all priests, certainly God can satiate our soul.
Amen.
If you notice this evening when you came in, there's a full moon. And that full moon has a particular name. It's called the full beaver moon. And the reason for that, it's in different parts of the country where it's cold, the beavers begin making their homes for the winter. So that was quite interesting. So you can't get any bigger than a full moon. So that moon is satiated. So one last thing I mentioned. In Ephesians 3:19 and 20, especially 19, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God.
Hey.
And because of that, we can make a affirmation in the name of Jesus. My soul has been satiated with the goodness of God.
Amen.
Thank you.
Fred, would you please come up and give us the testimony of thanksgiving?
Sure.
Giving honor to God. Actually, that scripture that you read, I was going to read, but you beat me to it. Amen. That's all right. First of all, I want to give honor to God. And I just want to thank God for giving his son to allow me to be a new creation in Christ. Amen. I thank Jesus for dying on the cross for me and sharing his blood. Amen. Sorry about that. Somebody just picked the mic up. I thank God for not only allowing me to be a new creation in Christ, but he's allowed me to be in a new gang today. For some of y'all that don't know me, I used to be a former gang member from Compton, and I used to run with a guy named Tookie Williams, and Tookie Williams was a bad guy. I've been in the gangs for a long, long time, and finally, I gave my life to Christ. Amen. And so now I'm in a new gang today. Amen. I was lost and now I'm found. Amen. I was blind, but now I see. Amen. And I just thank God for ABC also, because I've learned a lot here. I say that I haven't been here a long time, but I've been here a long time. Amen. I thank God for the teaching. I thank God for the diligence. I thank God for the love that is here. Because that particular love has rubbed off on me, amen. And I just thank God because, you know, I know for a fact if it had not been for God on my side, where would I be today? I'm grateful, you know, I don't have a family. This is my family. So when I come here to learn, to listen, and to be obedient, amen. But I just thank God because, you know, I look back at all the friends I hung out with. I look back at all the friends that I had back then. None of them are here today. And I would ask God a question. Why am I still here today? He said, because I have a purpose in your life. That purpose is to spread the gospel and let them know that Jesus is alive and well. So I'm grateful. I'm grateful to be able to not just be here, but I'm grateful to be amongst you. I'm grateful that the Lord is working in me and through me and around me. Amen. I thank God for the glory of God that's in this place. I thank God for Pastor Joshua and Sister Sarah and all the team that is with him. I can't tell you how much I've grown since I've been here. I can't tell you how much I've learned since I've been here. But I just thank God for the obedience. I just thank God for just allowing me to be a part of ABC. You know, I promised the Lord a long time ago, you know, you got to let me know because I'm a pastor too. I can talk too. Amen. I promised the Lord a long time ago that if he would save me, I would serve him for the rest of my life. And one of the things he has done for me, he has allowed me to be open because I wasn't open before. What am I saying? I wasn't a nice person. But when I gave my life to Christ, he mentioned something to me. Fred, I'm about love. So I thank him for allowing me to be open. And one of the things he shared with me was this. He said, to love me so that you can love yourself so that you can love others. Amen. And I thank God for that today. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much.
So next we have Tony, who's making his way to the front, who's going to give us his testimony of thanksgiving.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Remember to hold the mic right by your lips.
Well, I'm very thankful to be here at ABC. It's been a journey. I first got to ABC through a co-worker of mine, Joe Contaldi, who I worked with some years ago. He's passed on and is in heaven. And Joe kept saying to me, there's this Jamaican pastor in Glendora. You got to come to his church. And he says, on a Friday night. I said, Friday night? Come to church on Friday night? I don't know about that. But he kept insisting. Joe insisted. And I met him and the muscle guy.
Dennis Tenorino
at a little mall in on Grand, and followed them here. And this has been several years now I've been here, and I've grown in the teaching of Pastor Joshua and Pastor Sarah and the team. And it's been amazing. We've been going to church for a long time, and I never quite read the Bible or understood the Bible as well as Pastor Joshua and the team preaches. So I thank God for ABC and for all the good things in my life. I'm grateful for the doors that's opened in my life all year round. And I'm still a work in progress. But I will be who God wants me to be before he gets here for us. In Jesus' name. I like Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You know, he making me to lie down in green pastures. He leading me beside the still waters. He restored my soul. That's a psalm that I've been saying from I've been a little boy. And I think it's a psalm that's relevant all throughout one's life. In Jesus' name, thank you. Amen.
Thank you. Okay, can you start speaking, Michael, please?
Okay, you want me to just start right away?
Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
All right. I'd like to greet the ceiling and the drapes right now. Oh, there's everybody. Hey, guys. First of all, I want to tell you all why you should be thankful right now. Because several days ago, we tried a dry run with all of this, and I was unshaved, unshowered, and basically unclean. And boy, did I look rough on the opposing view. So hopefully it's not so bad on your eyes this time around. I've got a million reasons to thank God, and I am full of thanksgiving. But in one area I want to highlight, for years, not just myself, but I know a lot of really good, fine people of God have struggled financially in terms of having an overabundance of money to give to every good work, to give as our heart would purpose to give, and to give according to the scripture, in the form of tithes and offerings and so on. And I was one of those believers who fully believed in giving, and I thought, basically with my religious spirit at that time, that tithing was of the law, and therefore I was exempt, because Jesus fulfilled the law. And though I did give offerings, and I don't know that I was generous, but I did give. When I got a hold of the ABC teaching, I humbly realigned my thinking, because I agree with Pastor Joshua's teaching about tithing. And inside of a year and a half, my financial, let's call it my financial future, has gone from zero to millions of dollars. Just about 2.5 weeks ago, it's a very long testimony, and I'll just jump to the point. We were able to buy a oil and gas producing concern, which was worth about 60 million dollars while running at its peak and while running at its then present value was worth about $9 million. We were able to buy that entire property running, working out of bankruptcy for $50,000. I am beyond thankful to the Lord because I retired from my work earlier this year in June. And it's concrete work and it's hard work, and I'm 60 years old and I didn't feel led to do it anymore. And I've been tithing faithfully. I've been giving offerings when I've been able or wanted to, and my situation has turned around so dramatically, and I'm so grateful and thankful. And it's very possible that before the end of this year, our little $50,000 purchase could be worth upwards, with other things going on, of almost $500 million.
Praise the Lord.
And so anything is possible to them who believe.
Praise the Lord.
And I am looking forward to affecting the kingdom, not just with life and words, but also with money. It's been a big dream and it's been a big desire. It's eluded me for my entire born-again life. And because of constantly learning how to align myself with the Word of God, and still working on so many areas, but God Himself is the rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So thank God. I'm excited to spend Thanksgiving with you guys day after Thanksgiving. And again, be thankful that I don't look like I did a few days ago.
All right.
God bless you all. Thanks so much, Pastor Joshua and Sarah and everybody. Love you guys.
All right. Thank you so much.
You look pretty sharp in that black coat.
Tell them you're wearing your colors.
Yeah, I am. I'm wearing my colors now. Okay. All right. Thank you.
Okay. God bless you guys.
Okay. Wow, that was exciting. Yeah, sure. Come on up.
You notice that Michael is from Oklahoma, living in Oklahoma now. Michael said that in his entire Christian life, he was not able to really get the financial prosperity he wanted. Now, the reason is that he wanted it God's way. Because Abraham refused to take any of that which he had given and said, I don't want it to be said that I got even a shoelace from anybody. God made me wealthy. Because Michael, I hope he doesn't mind my saying this, Michael was the heir of a major fortune of a national, actually international chain of stores, and he was the eldest child, and he's Jewish. And he turned his back on that to become a believer and to spend 10 years ministering in the Middle East. Not only turned his back on that fortune once, the father came back many years later, repentant, trying to get him back in, offering him a huge amount of money if he would come back, cash up front, a huge amount of money, seven figures. And he said, no, I'm called to preach the gospel. So I'm so happy to hear the numbers that are coming out now. I knew this was in process. I knew it was a big deal. And I know every person involved with it keeps saying, only God can do this. Because only God can do that, believe me. Okay? And I'm very glad that the numbers have gotten even bigger. So praise God. Thank you, Jesus, for the work you're doing in Micah's life. In Jesus' name, amen.
And now we would like for Lloyd to come up. Lloyd's going to tell us his testimony of Thanksgiving.
Well, this has been quite a year for Debbie and I. We've had two situations where both of us had life-threatening situations, and we lost a dear family member this year. And yet, the Lord has given us real joy through all of that. And before I go into details on that, I want to say that I teach all my clients, and Debbie and I have lived by principles, and particularly there are six principles, but the first two are the most important. And the first one is the Lord is always worthy of praise. Yeah. Worthy of praise. Yeah. And he's worthy of praise, and there's nothing that can happen to, on, around, or with us that he can't handle. There's nothing. He's always worthy of praise. Nothing that happens to us, no matter what. And that's from meditating on Revelation 4 and 5. I love to spend time meditating on that scripture because it just puts us with John in his presence. And so we always triumph. I always start my day with that. Lord, you're worthy of praise every day. And the second principle is nothing can separate us from the love of God. That's Romans 8, 28 and following. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. And so I say to my clients, whether you live in a mansion or a prison cell, the Lord is always worthy of praise. So that is what has sustained us through a lot. Well, anyway, just most of what happened in a two-week period. So in June, we were getting ready to go to Lake Tahoe, and we were really looking forward to it. But I had having some chest discomfort and pain. So right as we were about to leave, and so it had been intermittent, but we were about to leave, and the very day we were going to leave, we got a phone call about Debbie's 92-year-old cousin. She had a severe stroke, and that we just decided that we can't leave, we can't go. We have to make sure she's getting the care she needs. So we stayed there to be with Jeannie at the hospital, and that day was extremely stressful dealing with doctors in the hospital. And that night, I had severe chest pain. It was severe, not like anything I've ever had. And so in 2011, I had four stents put in my heart. And so my doctor had given me nitroglycerin. So I took a nitroglycerin. I never had to take it before. And that dropped the blood pressure down, the pain went away. So that happened once. Then it came back. I took it a second one, and that dropped it down. And so it started up a third time really bad. And so basically Debbie says, I think we better call Joshua. And I said, yeah, we need to call in the big guns. So he prayed, and then the pain went away for several hours. And then late at night, one more time, it started coming back, and I couldn't sleep. So I took one more. And then I didn't have any pain after that. So I followed my doctor's direction, and that Friday, I didn't do anything that week. I stayed calm and just praying the entire week. So I went ahead and got an angiogram, and they found a 90 and 95% blockage in my heart. And so they put in the stents, so now I have six stents. And so the next day, the doctor comes in, and I said, well, do I need to take it easy? Do I need to do anything special? He said, no, you're good to go. And so I'm back to work Monday, and feeling great. Isn't that amazing? So I'm feeling great. And then Wednesday, I get a call from Debbie. And she's like blurting out, like, there's blood all over the place. And she said, I stepped on the cat's tail. And I'm thinking, how much blood can a cat have? So she said, no, it's me. She stepped on the tail. The cat jumped up and bit her leg and scratched her leg, and it hit a vein, and she was bleeding all over the place. And so she couldn't stop the bleeding because she takes blood thinner. So she's bleeding. And so I said, okay, I better call 911. So I call 911. The ambulance comes, and they take her to the ambulance, and I'm rushing home. I get home first before I go to the hospital, and there's like blood everywhere. It's like a murder scene. I'm telling you, it was unbelievable. And I cleaned all that up later. So it was pretty amazing. So, but you know, and by the way, Jeannie, is now with the Lord. She went to be with the Lord in end of September. Yeah. One more thing I wanted to share with you was about what happened around the cleansing retreat, because that has changed my life. And I haven't really talked to anybody about that much. My entire life, I've been dealing with fear and battling fear. And so I've been through a lot of inner healing prayer, a lot of deliverance, even here through the classes we had here. And I still would say the affirmation, God has not given me a spirit of fear, but power and love and a sound mind. That was the first affirmation I do every day. So still battling fear and in some way. So I decided before the retreat here, that retreat weekend, I went up to Lake Tahoe for a few days for a personal retreat and just time with the Lord. And I was spending that time with the Lord. So I'm sitting on the couch and turned and it's like Jesus is sitting right next to me. And I said, Lord, one thing I'd really like to know is where that fear entered into my life. And so I didn't get an answer right away. So I just started reading a book I had. It was a book on healing by a guy named Praying Medic. And he asked me about Praying Medic later. He's a real character. He prays for people. He's a paramedic, so he has medical training. Prays for people in the ambulance on the way to the hospital, and they get healed. It's really quite an amazing story. Anyway, so he's writing, and one of the things I came across, he said, medical healing has to do with, you know, knowledge and expertise and skill, but divine healing isn't about what you know, it's about who you know, Jesus. And when I read that phrase, my whole life opened up before me, and the Lord showed me. My whole life I've been seeking after knowledge. As a kid, I wanted to know everything. I want to know everything. I read encyclopedias cover to cover. I wanted to know everything. I was constantly, that's why I went to school so long, way too long. And then I just wanted to know everything. Even to this day, I really enjoy learning every day. But the downside of that is when you think you need to know everything and are driven by it, it's a drivenness. And the downside of that is that the fear that you don't know enough. It's a fear of not knowing enough. You want to know more and more and more. And like there's a feeling of inadequacy, and I felt this underlying inadequacy, and I could never shake that. And then I realized that the Lord had answered my prayer and showed me where the fear came in. It was about that drivenness to know stuff. And so since then, and then we were prayed for in the retreat. That's one of the 10 areas that we prayed for is about fear. And I got completely set free. And I actually am really free of fear. Once in a while, I need to deal with it. But I've been free of fear. In fact, my goal right now, and I pray this regularly, is, Lord, I want to be motivated by love and not fear. And, you know, I've known the Lord over 50 years, probably 55 years, and my motivation yet, you can be motivated by fear instead of love. And I really didn't know. I mean, I was loving, but this is like a whole nother level that I never imagined even living. And in fact, I was a little disoriented at first, because when you're motivated by fear, and then you don't have that fear to motivate you, it's like, wow, I don't really feel like doing anything. So, and I had to kind of reorient myself. It was really amazing. And then the other part of that is not what you know, but who you know. It's totally transformed my time with the Lord. My time with the Lord it's not about reading Bible or affirmations or prayer or study or worship music. It's not about that. It's about knowing Him. It's knowing Him. And all those are a means of knowing Him, of getting to that. But the real goal is just knowing Him. Like Paul said, I want to know Him in the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in His sufferings. That's what it's really about. Because I have people who say, oh, I didn't read the Bible. I'm not reading the Bible enough. And I talk to them about knowing the Lord. If you really want to know the Lord, then it's like reading a biography of Jesus. Like, you're reading when you read a biography, you kind of feel like you know the person. And it's like reading that biography, but the Holy Spirit makes it come alive. And you feel like I really am getting to know Him. Anyway, so...
Thank you. And now we have our last person for tonight. So here comes Annie. So we're looking forward to your testimony.
I am not wearing my colors, everyone. Well, there's a lot of things I can give thanks to God for, but I want to focus on how I came to ABC, because I think that's important for some people to hear. I've been saved since I was 12. I'm 30. I know I don't look it. And when I was growing up, I was in church. You know, the second I got saved, I was striving to learn more about God. And then around 18, 19, I joined Healing Rooms Ministry, which is where I met my spiritual parents, Pastor James and Pastora Karen. And then I was, still going to church. And then I got mad at God and I went through a backslidden stage. And wasn't doing anything bad. It's just I got to the point. Well, I knew I was at rock bottom when somebody asked me what I believed in and I told them I didn't know. And then I was like, okay, I think I hit rock bottom. So then I started going back to church, and I ran into my spiritual parents again. I hadn't seen them in a long time. And then I started seeking God more. And, I was going to church, and I had heard a lot growing up, but everything I was listening to just wasn't feeding me properly. I needed something more. And then I talked to Pastor Karen, and she told me about healing school. And at that time, when I was going through my, backslidden stage, I was at the doctor probably at least once a month. There was always something. And I was actually ridiculous for someone who was 27 years old. And I learned that it was all spiritual once I got into healing school. And when I first started healing school, the first semester I was, saying affirmations. I was like, oh my gosh, I have to keep saying these affirmations. And I was like, this isn't working. I was thinking in my head, there was so much battles going on in my mind. And then, I got my first victory. I was like, hey, it only took like 3,000 affirmations, but that's okay. And then something else would come up. It seemed like the more that I pressed in, the more the enemy hit. But the Lord reminded me of something the other day when I was reading Ephesians 6, that He only has fiery darts, and we have a big double-edged sword and a shield. So I kept every challenge that came through the wonderful help of, ABC teaching and mentoring with my spiritual parents. I was able to overcome each challenge. And, then during healing school, I was listening to Revelation series, and I had not come to church yet. And I was like, my gosh, this man knows so much. I've been wanting to hear this kind of teaching, but I didn't know where to get it. I was falling asleep in a lot of churches. So his teaching intrigued me. And so I started coming. And ever since I've came here, I've known how to, I've gotten better with hearing the voice of God clearer, you know, also through mentoring and the teachings here. And thank you to all the pastors here. And, you know, I used to have a fear of death, and now I don't. I don't have a fear of dying at all through the teaching that Pastor Joshua just did. And so many things. So back to healing school, at the cleansing seminar, Pastor Karen and I added up how many challenges I had gone through during that year and a half. And it was 40. And it was some things that were previous, but it was also some things that just came out of nowhere. My back was completely healed from a challenge when I was 20. I fell on a trampoline. And when I had forgiven people that I didn't know I had unforgiveness toward, the healing completely came. My knee, my hand, like there's so many testimonies. And then the icing on the cake was during the cleansing retreat that my teeth got supernaturally straightened. So this church has blessed me so much. I've grown so much from being here. And my friends have even noticed a change, which is, you know, I kind of like went in a little bit of isolation when I was going through healing school. And then I came out of nowhere and they noticed a change. So praise be to God for bringing me here, for Pastor Joshua, Pastor Sarah, my spiritual parents, and every pastor here and everyone here who has encouraged me to keep pressing on.
Thank you very much. Well, now we're going to do something called a chorus. This is from Psalm 136. I'm going to say a phrase, and you're going to say, His love endures forever. So let's do that. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good.
His love endures forever.
Give thanks to the God of gods. Give thanks to the Lord of Lords. Give thanks to Him who alone does mighty miracles. Give thanks to Him who made the heavens so skillfully. Give thanks to Him who placed the earth among the waters. Give thanks to Him who made the heavenly lights. The sun to rule the day, and the moon and stars to rule the night. He remembered us in our weakness. He saved us from our enemies. Give thanks to the God of heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Now we're going to go into communion.
As the communion elements are being passed out, let's be sure and take this time to confess any known sins, that we may be in a pure, holy state to come before our pure and holy God. In Jesus' name. Father, we thank you that not only is this the day after the American tradition of Thanksgiving, but we, as your children, love to give thanks to you all the time. And this is Friday night, and here we come to the Shabbat supper communion. We thank you, Lord, so much for the privilege of being able to come to the table, to meet you there, to partake of your body and your blood. I like to call it the gift that keeps on giving. because we keep receiving the benefits of your one-time sacrifice. We thank you, Father, that as your disciples gathered together with you in the upper room that night, you gave thanks and you took the bread and you blessed it and you said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." We thank you, Lord Jesus, for those 39 stripes that you took upon your back. 39 stripes each time the whip hit your body. You were paying that price for us, for every sickness, every disease, and every infirmity, and every pain. For modern science has 39 categories of sickness and disease. And it's no coincidence that you took those 39 stripes. It was to pay the price in full and complete, in the great exchange, so that we would be free from all sickness, free from all disease, free from all infirmity, free from all pain, that we would walk in wellness and wholeness and restoration and recreation, just the fullness of health and healing in our bodies. And we receive it now from the crown of our heads to the soles of our feet. Any physical challenge we may be experiencing right now, Lord Jesus, we give it over unto you because you paid that price. And as we now take a faith action plan of partaking of the broken body of Jesus, we in exchange receive our healing that belongs to us that you paid such a dear price for. And this is our way of telling you, thank you, Jesus, as we receive our healing now. Let's partake together as one in his spirit. Jesus' name. In the same manner, after the supper, Jesus took the cup, giving thanks and declaring, "This is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you for remission from sins." No more annual sacrifice was required. You were the lamb slain from before the foundation of the world, Jesus. It's a once-for-all sacrifice. And we have been washed clean by the blood of Jesus. Every sin, every past, present, future, known and unknown sin, washed free from us by the blood of Jesus Christ into the sea of forgetfulness. For you have chosen to forget our sins, to remember them no more. We thank you for the wonderful covenant that was established with your blood, sealing the old covenant and establishing the new, better, and everlasting covenant for us. For these last days, our victory is in you, Jesus. We are overcomers in you, Jesus, in your power, in your love, in your word, in your blood. We partake together of the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We remember and we rejoice in Jesus' name. Okay, now, giving testimonies and thanksgiving. We as a church and many of us individually have support for Prince Paul Konu of Ghana, West Africa. And he is hooked into this ministry of which Lyle, who spoke earlier, is president. And my husband referenced that with the electronics that they have that aid the missionaries tremendously. And Prince Paul was here September, okay. And so this is a thanks from him. "Hello, Brother Lyle. Trust you and your family are doing well. Thank you so much for taking time to drive with me during my recent trip to the USA. I was so grateful. Thank you. Last month,
and this is a very busy one. And God has blessed us with other new believers who have joined the Christian faith as a result of our outreach. We evangelized two new villages with less Christian witness. We count, listen to these numbers, we count 321 professions of faith and 108 baptisms. Woo! Isn't that exciting? And he said, we are in villages spending some time with them to train the leaders among them to lead the church in the future. This is what Pastor Prince Paul does, is he'll lead people to Jesus, but he doesn't leave them hanging. He trains people to take over, to lead these, and then goes on to evangelize more people. And part of his evangelism is the things that he's able to provide for them. He goes on to say, I am able to provide 100 Bibles, 5 bikes, and 3 sewing machines for single mothers' sewing training from the funds that were donated while I was in the U.S. So we all contributed to this, making lives better for these people. They have Bibles to read. The bicycles are for the leaders to be able to go from village to village. They don't have paved roads and, you know, cars and so forth. So they depend a lot on the bicycles in the jungle. And then for the young ladies, some of whom have been brought out of really bad situations, about out of slavery, and they're being taught how to make a living. They're being taught and being given sewing machines and the training how to use them in order to give them a future, an honest and wonderful future. So he goes on to say, thank you and God bless you, Prince Paul. And we do thank him very much for allowing us to partner with him. Not all of us can be the missionaries abroad, but we can all support the ones who go. And we support them with our finances, but we also need to remember to continue to support them with our prayers, because they really, really need that.